I've got a lot I want to say today, so I'm just going to jump right into it. I want to share this message called The Key to Living. The Key to Living. And my point is simply this, that if I live my life God's way, then I believe I set myself up to receive God's blessings. If we live our life God's way, then we set ourselves up to receive his blessings. In Genesis chapter 12, verse number 2, I'm going to get through a lot of scripture here at the beginning as I kind of lay the foundation for this message. Genesis 12, 2, God made a covenant with Abraham and he said, I will bless you and so shall you be a blessing. Meaning the blessings that God has given to us, he expects us to be able to help others. And that's why in Proverbs 11, 24, it says one person can give freely and gain even more. You gain more when you give away, but you can withhold and come to poverty. That's kind of counterintuitive, but there's a reason why it's that way. There's two ways you can choose to live your life. You can choose to live your life as a giver or as a receiver, as the lender, as the borrower, as one who is in a stronghold, in a prison, or in freedom. You can live in abundance, you can live in lack, you can live in discipline, or you can live in chaos. You can live in generosity, or you can live in selfishness. There's two ways to live. In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, in everything I did, I show you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. We must help others. We must be generous. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So the key to living is a mindset. It's the way you choose to live. The key to living is giving. And everybody who just said, oh, I can't believe I came here on a Sunday and he's going to talk about giving. I want you to listen. You're the one I want to communicate to today. Because listen, this really isn't about money. It really has almost nothing to do with money. It's about a mindset on how we steward everything that God has put into our care. Everything that God has brought into our care, into our life. It's really about stewardship. And stewardship is this. Stewardship is managing everything that God has brought into our life in a way that honors God. And that could be your money, or it could be your time. It could be your talents. It could be your relationships. It could be any number of things. But everything that God has blessed us with, being a steward, a good steward, means that we handle it in a way that honors God. So whether you call it giving, whether you call it tithing, whether you call it stewardship, whatever word you want to use to make you feel better, use that word. But the bottom line is, it's not really about God, it's about you. God doesn't need our money. God, he owns everything. He doesn't need our money. But what he needs is for us to set ourselves up in a position to experience his very best. In fact, I believe that the way we steward everything that God has placed in our life, this is about God's leadership pipeline. This is about this is God's strategy for developing leaders and managers. And that will relate and equate to the way you operate at work and whether your promotion comes at work or not. The way we steward our finances, the way we steward our time, the way we steward our relationships, it's all about how God prepares us for the next level. Look at Genesis 1:28. It says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, or the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. What was he doing? He was setting them up to be a steward over all that God had created. You're a manager of this now. Here's how you manage it. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. You're a manager of this now. Everything that God has given to us, it's all about how do you manage it? Are you going to manage it in a way that honors God? Are you going to manage it in a way that only serves you? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. So the way we steward everything that God has given to us, it's not really about the money. It's about our faithfulness. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So what God has blessed us with. God's checking to see if we're a good steward to help somebody else according to God's grace. So, having laid that foundation, why is stewardship, giving, tithing, whatever word you want to use, why is it such a delicate subject? Why do people, I mean, they turn into prunes. Just don't want to hear it. Don't want to talk about it. Don't mess with my money. Why is it so delicate? I mean, no one will complain today when you go to the restaurant this afternoon and they bring a check to you and ask for your credit card. You give them your credit card. They walk off into the back room somewhere. You don't even know what they're doing with your credit card. You just give it away. You don't complain about it. We don't complain about the theater when they take our money for a ticket to go watch a movie. We don't complain about the car dealership. I mean, we might complain about how long it takes and the whole process. But you give them, you exchange money to them for the car you're going to drive off. We don't complain about the Dallas Cowboys and how much they charge for a ticket to go watch them play. We don't complain about the music artist that charges, you know, $300 for a ticket to come watch them perform in a concert at the AAC. We don't complain about Six Flags for how much they're going to make you pay for a season pass. You don't complain about McAllister's or Saltgrass or McDonald's or even Starbucks. Who's going to charge you $5 for a cup of coffee? Are you kidding me? Well, we don't complain. We just do it. We give them our money and then we get our product and we move on down the road. But why do people get so emotional about this thing called money? It could be because of abuse. I get it. Churches have abused it. Pastors have abused it. And because of that, I know some people say, look, I'm not going to get abused. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'll give you that. There's been abuse. However, there have been abuses in corporate America. There have been plenty of corporations that you and I do business with that have abused our conscience, that have completely gone anti-Christian, and yet we will still go to Target and Kohl's and watch Disney and watch the LA Dodgers. Come on now. Don't tell me I don't give to church because somebody abused it one time if you're still supporting corporations that have abused you and Christ. So why is stewardship, giving, tithing such a delicate subject? You know why? Because it's a spiritual transaction. It is a spiritual transaction. There is a spiritual component whenever we give in an offering. When we release what's in our hand, there's a spiritual component. There is a spiritual warfare that is attached to it. Because Acts 10:4 says, Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. That means not only your prayers are heard by God, your gifts are seen by God. It's a spiritual transaction. It's not just paying bills and making sure missionaries are supported and needs are met. No, no, there's a spiritual transaction. Philippians 4:17 says, not that I desire your gifts. Paul is teaching the Philippians about giving. And he says, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. Whoa, there's an account somewhere? Yes, you've got an account. You didn't know you had an account. You got an account. It's in heaven. Who's watching over your account? God's watching over your account. And Paul is saying, hey, I want to make sure there's more credit to your account in heaven. So if we have an account in heaven, what do we do to get credit in that account and to make sure we don't have any debits in that account? Because stewardship implies that everything belongs to God and he's watching over what we do with the resources that he has put in our life. Now, in the book of Malachi, and I'm going to go straight to the book of Malachi, and for those of you that think, I know where he's going, hopefully I'm going to teach you something that you don't know today. But in Malachi, the people of Israel had begun to do things their own way, which is the common problem with humanity. We think we know best. So we try to do things our own way. We come up with our own plan, with our own agenda, and we think we know better than God because we feel a certain way. We feel better when we do it this way. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But the prophet Malachi came to Israel and said, here's what God says. Malachi 3, verse number 9. You're under a curse. your whole nation because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Now I can hear someone right now say, Kendall, that's Old Testament, and I'm a New Testament guy. Well, I'm a New Testament guy too. But in my opinion, it's unthinkable for me from the standpoint of the cross and what Jesus did for us on the cross, that anyone would consider giving less under grace than what the Jews gave under law. Just a thought. But remember, the law was intended to teach us how to live. Grace gives us the freedom to do it from our hearts, not under compulsion or under force. And when you're in Christ, you want to serve him with all of your heart, not less of your heart. So tithing, giving, stewardship, again, whatever word you want to use, is an Old Testament principle that predates law, continues after the law, and therefore it's a plan. It's a system. It's a roadmap for our giving. It is a roadmap for our living. Jesus taught in Matthew 5:17, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And then he said in also Romans 3:31, do we then overthrow the law by this faith now that we live by faith? No, on the contrary, we uphold the law. You see, some people will say that the Old Testament has absolutely no bearing on my life at all. However, Jesus oftentimes in his teaching referred back to the Old Testament to enforce what he was teaching in the New Testament. 9 out of the 10 original Big Ten commandments are repeated in the New Testament. The only one that's not repeated is remember the Sabbath. And the reason that's not repeated in the New Testament is because Sabbath meant rest. Jesus is our rest, so the Sabbath has already arrived. So I believe that tithing was set up as a principle to teach us how to live. I don't believe that it's a salvation issue, but I believe it's a key to living in abundance, a key to living in prosperity, and a key to keep the kingdom of God growing. So tithing. It runs all the way back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God said, there's one tree, it's mine, don't touch it. Everything else you can have, but not this, it's mine. And I read a report one time that said that all the trees that exist today can be traced back to 9 original trees. If that's the case, then the tree of knowledge of good and evil was the tithe, the first, don't touch it. One of the next places that we see a principle of tithing is in Genesis, when Abraham is blessed and he's got plenty of abundance, and he chooses of his own free will to tithe to a man by the name of King Melchizedek, who is a type of Jesus Christ. Of his own free will, there's no law in place. He just chooses to do this. That's why I'm saying there's a principle that is set up that predates law that continues after. But let me ask you a question. What if Jesus asked you to tithe? Would you tithe? Luke 11:42 says, woe to you Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. He was saying you should continue to tithe, but quit neglecting love and justice and mercy. You should do both. So listen, God doesn't need our money, but what he needs to see is your character. Because I said this is God's leadership pipeline. God's looking to see. See, tithing is about accountability. Tithing is about discipline. Tithing is about honesty. Tithing is about diligence and faithfulness and trustworthiness. And God is looking for those character qualities in people that he wants to promote. There are all types of quality leaders. He's looking for those that he can trust. Let's say you own your own company. You got your own company, and you've got to let go of one person. Well, you've got one salesperson over here who, I mean, they are a 10 when it comes to a salesperson. You got one over here who's a 7. At first, you think, I know who I got to let go. But you find out something about the 10 that he's just not completely trustworthy. He's charging things on his company credit card that he shouldn't. He's taking things under the table that he shouldn't. It's not bankrupting the company, but it's not trustworthy, and you just can't trust him. But this seven over here, well, he's faithful. He's honest. You can trust him. Who's going to get let go? Any person with any kind of a brain is going to take the person they can trust all day long over the person they can't trust. And God is looking for people that he can trust. Is that going to be you? So tithing's not about the money. It's about what we do with it that determines how God blesses us. Here's six benefits of giving God's way. Let me give these to you real quick. Number one, tithing frees me to live in God's blessing. It frees me. Everybody say free. It frees me from living, frees me to live in God's blessing. Verse 9 of Malachi 3 that we just read says that you're under a curse. You want to get out from underneath that curse? Tithing frees you from that curse. Maybe you're here today and you've got a lot of financial frustration. It very well could be that you're under a curse. And the choices that we make determine whether we get out from underneath that curse or not. I believe that people that win are givers. And giving breaks the curse of selfishness. It breaks the curse of poverty. It breaks the curse of self-centeredness. You've got to break that curse and get free from that. So let's say we all farm apples. I'm sure there are a few apple farmers in the house here today. We all do that from time to time. Okay, none of us do that today. However, we all have these apples. This represents your resources. It represents what God has brought into your life. It represents your income, your talents. It represents everything that God has placed in your care. There's 10 here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10. These 10 represent all that is given. God has given to us. How much of it belongs to God? All of it belongs to God, right? It all belongs to God. But when God says, I want you to bring back the tithe, bring it to me, the tithe literally means tenth, so that would be one, right? So we're going to just write a big T on this for tithe. So here's the second point, is that tithing teaches me to have a plan. See, God is a God of order. God is a God of systems. God's not just, well, if you feel like doing this day, then do that. If you feel like doing this, then do that. No, God's more systematic than that. So he has this plan in place, and it teaches us how to operate with all the resources that God has given us. There's three words that I want you to notice there in verse number 10 when it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Bring, whole, and storehouse. Bring means it's not yours. What do I mean by that? Well, if you borrowed a ladder from me and you called me up this morning and says, hey, I want to give you a ladder. So what are you talking about? You know that ladder I borrowed from you? I'm going to give it to you. No, fool. You're going to bring my ladder back. You don't give me something that's already mine. But you can bring it back to me, right? And what the scripture says, bring the tithe. We bring the tithe because it's not ours. It's God. So we're just bringing it back to him like the borrowed ladder. Bring the whole tithe. What does the tithe mean? Tithe means 10%. Now you can say, well, I'm going to, people say this all the time, well, I'm going to tithe $5 today. No, you can't tithe five unless that's a tenth of your income. A tithe is a tenth. This is not difficult, but we just have to know the terminology. We can give an offering of $5. You can give an offering of $500, but the tithe is that first portion that goes out of our house, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But these three phrases that the bring, the whole, and the storehouse, look at this. That speaks of position. What is the tithe? First place. It speaks of percent, whole, tithe, that's 10%. Placement, where? Storehouse, not just anywhere you want. I know people say, I'm going to help my kids this month with my tithe. That's my tithe. I'm going to help somebody. No, that's not your tithe. That's an offering. Your tithe belongs to the Lord. So back to our example, we've got our apple farm here. Which one is the tithe? This one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. Which one? It's the first one that leaves your hand. The tithe is the first one that you, what does that mean? Well, when it comes to your income, when you get paid, which is the tithe, the first 10% that goes out from your income, the first 10. What does that mean? That means that we need to set God up with the first, because the first is going to determine everything else. Now, here's what happens. A lot of people make the mistake of paying themselves first, because we've been taught that. Pay yourself first. Put your money in savings first. Well, that's a good practice. But the tithe is the first 10% that leaves your hand. Some say, well, I got to make sure my mortgage is paid first. Okay. I got to pay my car payment first. All right. I'm just telling you right now, the tithe is the first to leave your hand. The first thing, and where does the first go? The first goes right here into the storehouse. Your storehouse, Freedom Church. That's where it goes. So what we have to make sure that we're doing is we're not robbing God by taking the first and sending it to the mortgage company, taking the first and sending it to the car company, or taking the first and just paying our first, because what I do with the first determines what God does with the rest. I might need to get caught up on the slides here just a little bit. What I do with the first determines what God does with the rest. And if God is first, then the rest is blessed. I mean, think about this. Wherever you send your tithe, that's the first that leaves your hand. Wherever you send your tithe, that's who you're trusting for your financial future. If it goes to your mortgage company, that's who you're trusting with your financial future. If you send it to your car company, that's who you're trusting with your financial future. Are they going to take care of you when you need help? No. That's why the first goes to God, because we're trusting Him with our financial future. So how do we do that? Well, I'll just tell you how I do it. I know Kyle does a little bit different. Everybody does a little bit different. I put my tithe on auto deduction so that right after I get my paycheck, when it hits, next thing that hits is my auto deduction, so it goes right out. I do that with all very important bills, because I don't want to take a chance of forgetting and being late one day. So very important things go out automatically. Now, Kyle's told you several times when he gets his paycheck, he goes, sits down, and he does it online manually. That's great. Other people, my mom, she writes it out in a check. In fact, you know, I'll even tell my mom, she's been, you know, battling with her neck. She wrote a check out. I think she told me it was in July. She wrote a check, came to church. When she got here and opened up, she realized, oh, there's my June check. She'd written it out, but hadn't made it to church yet. I'm sure God's covering her, got her taken care of. But here's what happens when we put things first. Then when we put the right things first, it determines what happens with the rest of our income. So what happens if you get paid on Friday and you write the check on Friday afternoon and then you don't get to church till Sunday and your wife goes to the grocery store and buys groceries? Then she's going to have to repent for that. But no, I'm kidding. We're not legalistic about that. But you know, in your heart, if God is first, if you've decided to put Him first. Number three, I got to hurry with this. Tithing positions me to be blessed by God. Verse 10 says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. You see, giving sets you free to be blessed, but the blessing, it may look different than you think. The blessing may not be a black BMW. The blessing, it may be health. It may be peace. It may be a promotion, because the word blessing literally means blessing, prosperity, or peace in every area of my life. But if you're not in right position, then you won't receive the blessing. I can remember being in junior high, playing junior high football, and I'd just been moved in position from running back to wide receiver, and I hadn't got all the plays down. Quarterback called the play. He's rolling out right, and I've got two routes. I can either run down, plant my feet, and turn and hook and just kind of float across the middle, or you plant your feet, and you turn, and you hit to the sideline, and the quarterback throws the ball before you ever turn your head. And I had run down, and I just got it wrong. And I hooked and started floating across the middle to see that ball going towards the sideline. Coach grabbed me, pulled me off, chewed me out. I was just trying to get it. What? The reason I didn't get the reception, It's interesting that a ball being caught in a football game is called a reception because you receive it. The reason I wasn't in position to receive it is because I had gone the wrong way. And a lot of people are going the wrong way, trying to do it their own way, and they're not in position to receive the blessings that God is sending your way. Tithing puts you in position. Number four, tithing allows me to be a part of God's work. Verse 10 says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there will not be room enough to store it. Now, I got to be honest with you. I read this and I thought, I've never got to that place yet. I've never been at a place where I thought, stop it, God. Stop it. Can't handle it. Send it to somebody else. Send some over there to Ron. Send some over there to Brian. I can't handle it anymore. I can't store all these blessings. Has anybody ever got to that place? I didn't think so. Well, what in the world does God mean by that? You know what I believe he means by this? It was never meant to be stored. It was meant to be given away. It was meant to flow through you. That blessing was meant to work through us. We're called to be rivers, not reservoirs. It's just like the Jordan River flows down into the Sea of Galilee where there is life and fish and people make a living there. It flows out of the Sea of Galilee down into the Dead Sea where it stops. There is no outlet to the Dead Sea. There's a reason why it's called dead, because nothing lives there. And there's another interesting fact. The Dead Sea is the lowest point of elevation on the earth. Isn't it interesting that the lowest place on earth is a place that does not give? It only takes. I could stay there a while, but I can tell you're getting uncomfortable. So let's just move on. Point number five, tithing protects me from the enemy. Verse number 11 says, I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Back to these apples. There are plenty of bugs that would like to come and destroy these apples. But God says, I'm going to protect your apples. I'm going to take care of you. That doesn't mean that we'll never have a challenge. It doesn't mean that we'll never have a difficult day, because we live in a fallen world and people do crazy things. And somebody may do something that will jeopardize your job, jeopardize your sales, jeopardize your department, or even jeopardize a whole company. That happens. But when those things happen, God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. Because you have positioned yourself to receive my blessings. We moved this last year out into the country, and boy, when the summer hit, we weren't prepared for this, but the summer bugs have come out like the frogs coming out of the Nile River. It's crazy, from frogs and crickets and grasshoppers and cicadas and all kinds of summer bugs. I've never seen so many bugs in all my life. And Starla said, I wasn't ready for these bugs. She called the pest control company that comes on a cycle, and she says, y'all got to get out of here and put an extra force field around this house, because I don't do bugs. So they came out and shot, and it's kind of, they were just shooting everywhere, killing bugs, dead bugs everywhere. And then she was doing her own spraying. This is what happens when you are a giver, when you steward God's resources in your life properly. God says, I'm going to destroy all those bugs. I'm going to prevent those pests from getting your crops. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to always look out for you. That's why David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread, because God always looks out for his people. And here's the last thing. Number six, tithing. It reaches beyond me to show that God is good. Somebody say, God is good. Tithing, it reaches beyond me. It's more than just, for my benefit. It goes way beyond that, because verse 12 says, all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Did you know today that there are more than 50 different nations that are receiving ministry today because of what you do right here through missions giving? Right here, 50 different nations, 84 different missionaries or missions organizations receive monthly support from you because of what you do right here. We gave over $1 million last year to missions. People call us blessed. You know why? Because we are blessed, because we're givers, because we're sowers, because we see needs and we meet those needs. Now, I believe that when you are a giver, when you have the heart of God in giving and managing his resources right, people can see it. They can see the blessing of God upon your life. A lot of people, they'll trust Jesus with their eternity, but they don't trust him with their finances. And I don't get that. If you're going to trust him with your eternity, shouldn't you be able to trust him with your finances? When the children of Israel were being delivered from bondage in Egypt, the first thing that God taught them when they came out of bondage in Exodus chapter 13, this is interesting. The first thing that God taught them was in verse number 1. It says, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. God is teaching them this principle of who is first. Who's first in your life? So they get delivered from bondage. They're out of slavery, headed towards the promised land. God teaches them that every firstborn male should be consecrated to the Lord. First offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. And then in verse 12, it says, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. And then verse 13 gets a little interesting. Here he says, redeem with the lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you don't redeem it, break its neck. Well, that sounds weird. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. I'll explain that in just a minute. But the point here is that the firstborn had to be either sacrificed or redeemed. Sacrificed or redeemed. If it was a clean animal, then the firstborn had to be sacrificed. If the animal was unclean, then the firstborn had to be redeamed. That meant a clean animal had to be sacrificed in place of the unclean. So my question to you is, were you and I born clean or unclean? Unclean, right? We're born into sin. You don't have to teach a kid to sin. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. We're born into sin. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? Clean. The clean was sacrificed for the unclean. Jesus was sacrificed for us. And did you know that the Bible calls Jesus God's tithe? Why is that? Because a tithe is given first in faith. When we give our tithe, we don't wait to the end of the month to see how much money we have left over to see whether we're going to give to God or not. I know that's what a lot of people do, but it's wrong. A tithe is given first in faith that God will take care of the rest. It's always a little scary. I mean, or sometimes it's a little scary. You know, you give that tithe, I hope there's enough left over for this month. And that's when some people start doing it their own way. And they start hanging on to it and wait until the end of the month. If they've got enough, then we'll just throw God some change. That's not the way you honor God with the resources. That's not being a faithful, diligent, trustworthy, honest steward. Do you know that God gave Jesus in faith? Before we were Christians, before we were saved, while we were still sinners, God gave his son as a tithe in faith that we would receive him. He didn't wait until we made a commitment that we would serve the Lord before he gave his son to die for us. No, he gave him in faith. That's what tithing does. It's given in faith, trusting that God's going to take care of the rest. But what about that donkey and breaking the neck? What was that all about? If you don't redeem it, what God told him is you're going to have to break its neck. What does that mean? You're gonna lose it anyway. Any first thing that is given is never lost. Any first thing that is not given is always lost. And that principle goes through with our time, our talents, our resources. If we honor God with the first, we'll never lose it. It goes into our future. If we hang on to it, you're gonna lose it anyway. We think we're being smart and hanging on. No, you're just setting yourself up to lose it. And let me finish with this. Exodus 13, look at verse number 14. It says, in the days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? You're going to say to him, well, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. And that's why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. You see, what happened was one day a son came up to his dad and said, Dad, I don't understand what you're doing. You keep killing our prophets. You sacrifice a firstborn of each of our livestock, and then for each of your children, you're sacrificing for them as well. I don't get it. Yet it's destroying our prophets. And that's when the father would say to his son, let me tell you something, son. One day, we were slaves in Egypt. Our life was not our own. We were in bondage to the master of evil. And we lived under that oppression. We live under that strong arm of Pharaoh. We were slaves, but God set us free. And because God set us free and we live in freedom now, we're in this promised land because of God's promises and God's blessing. I sacrificed the first animal back to the Lord to show that I'm thankful. I make an offering on behalf of you because I'm grateful. I'm grateful for what God has done for me. And the same thing is going to happen to each and every one of you who are Christ followers, who are teaching your kids one day how to budget their money. And you're going to teach them about the tithe. You're going to tell them they need to budget 10%. And they're going to look at you and say, 10%? Are you crazy? You and mama do this? Yeah, we've been doing this ever since we got saved. Because one day, son, your daddy was not saved. One day I was lost as could be. And Jesus saved me. I found my way to Freedom Church, and somebody invited me to a service, and I came and I gave my life to Jesus. And from that day forward, I started living my life God's way. And every time I get a paycheck, I bring the first fruit back to the Lord. And I say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving my family. Thank you for getting me out of the pit. I was on drugs. I was addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to all kinds of things. But Jesus set me free. And because of that, I come back to church every Sunday. I say, Lord, thank you. And keep this church, keep the lights burning so that somebody else can find the freedom that I have found in Jesus Christ. That's why we give to the Lord. Can I tell you that giving, it's not about the money. It's about salvation. It's about knowing that you've been set free and that you're grateful to the God who made it possible for your sins to be forgiven. I had somebody come up to me after the last service, said, I got to tell you, you kind of opened my eyes today. And it was weird. This was the one thing I'd never thought. He said, I heard God in a completely different way than ever. He said, I got to tell you, I've not been in church. I can't tell you the last time I've been in church. But I came here today and you said you were talking about these apples. And I realized, I don't have the ability to make those apples grow. I can plant the seed, but I can't make that seed grow. I can't make the soil. God gave the soil. I can't make the sun and the water. I can't do that. God does that. I just steward it right. I make sure it's got the water that it needs, but I got the water from God. I make sure it gets the sunlight it needs, but I got the sunlight from God. I make sure the seed is in the soil, but I got that soil from God. He said, all this comes from God. He said, everything I got, it's all come from God. I said, that's it. And I hope today every single one of us will realize everything we have has come from God. When we come back to Him, we're just saying, God, I recognize that all I have is because of you. And I'm so thankful to you. Bow your heads with me, please. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, if you don't realize that the best thing that you could ever do is to say yes to Jesus, this message is all for you. Because the best thing you do is realize you can't do it without God. You need God in your life. I need him in my life. If you say, Pastor, pray for me, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, slip up your hand. I want to know who I'm praying for. One, two, three. So that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I see you. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. Thanks, brother. Thanks. Thank you. I see your hand right back there. Yep. All over this room, each one of you that just raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer, but I'm going to ask everyone to pray so no one prays alone. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Come into my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the Lord of my life today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, every person that just prayed that prayer, you heard the cry of their heart. Establish yourself in their life as Lord and Savior. And we will rejoice with them as they start this new life living for you. In Jesus' name, amen.